histoire de voir ce qui se passe autour sur la planète. Plutôt agir pour devenir. Oui, là, te laisse-moi leur dire que c'est à travers la musique, ouais, que je veux vivre autre chose. Marre de leur pression, oui, qu'ils propagent à haute dose. Boy, j'ai mal à la tête, pousse la gâchette et tout explose. Une pause, on tourne la page, puis passe à autre chose.
C'est une bonne époque pour faire la révolution.
Révolution.
C'est aussi que c'est ce qu'attend la population. Ils savent qu'il est temps de laisser circuler les gens et de laisser circuler l'argent. Une bonne époque pour que nous nous unissions ensemble, unis pour une seule mission. Qu'on en finisse avec leur oppression, leur répression, leur munition, leur corruption. Oh, Faya, je me verrai bien voyager comme un nomade. Parcourir le monde en perpétuelle promenade. Que de la voix, ils aiment la tchat sur un sombat. C'est obligé, faut qu'on se balade. Je me verrai bien voyager comme un nomade. Parcourir le monde en perpétuelle promenade. Que de la voix, ils aiment la tchat sur un sombat. C'est obligé, faut qu'on se balade. India, le Maurice, Haïti, Opéa. Jusqu'en Jamaïque, tu sais qu'on ira là-bas. Sénégal, Nigeria, Algérie ou Venezuela. Jusqu'à Guadadaman, tu sais qu'on ira là-bas. Bombay, India, le Maurice, Haïti, Opéa. Quand Jamaïque, tu sais qu'on ira là-bas. Sénégal, Nigeria, Algérie ou Venezuela. Jusqu'à Guadadaman, tu sais, il faut que l'on
découvre,
que l'on marche, que l'on discute,
ça coûte,
que ça marche.
Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666. Or contact us at AIDSVancouver.org.
Summer is fast approaching, which can only mean one thing. The 2011 Scotiabank AIDS Walk for Life is only a few short months away.
Registration is now open for this year's walk, taking place on September 18th at Sunset Beach. Proceeds from the AIDS Walk for Life allow members of Positive Living BC to access health products and services not subsidized by other resources.
More information about this year's walk can be found at AIDSWalkForLifeVancouver.ca.
Run, run with her.
My name's Aiden Saint. Queer FM Arts Extra is on now. Hey, it's been a really interesting week. It's Queer Arts Film Festival week. The Queer Film Fest is happening here in Vancouver. And we're going to talk about that today. We also have a great interview. Justin Saint. Yes, we miss you, Justin. Justin is off at school learning to be a fantastic makeup artist. And But that doesn't stop him from being rather, proactive about his theater endeavors. So we have a fantastic interview with Kay Tuckerman from Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia is coming to town, and Justin Saint, well, introduced a little bit of technology to Queer FM Arts Extra, the first Skype interview. Pretty cool. So without further ado, here's Kay Tuckerman and Justin Saint on Queer FM Arts Extra, CITR. Well, let Kay say.
Okay, so my big question is, or to start off, were you a fan of ABBA before you joined the show?
What do you think?
I think yes.
I was a huge, huge, huge ABBA fan. Yeah, I mean, being Australian, you know, ABBA was huge in Australia. So, and whilst they kind of started with the Eurovision Song Contest and they won that competition with Waterloo, and, you know, that sort of propelled their fame within Sweden and within Europe, and then they started building a lot of momentum worldwide. But Australia was where they had their first number one hit, which was Mamma Mia, and because of that, they were always big fans of Australia and really appreciated the support down under. So so what happened was they did a big tour there, and I was just such a fan. I was too young to go to a concert of such sorts, but you know, I had all their albums. I had tapes, and I had hairbrushes, and I had pillowcases, and I had, yeah, you name it, I had it. I was a huge, huge fan.
That's awesome. So when you were kind of building up your musical theater career, was Mamma Mia on your must-have list?
Do you know, it was. I mean, when did I sort of started performing professionally in the late 80s, and then Mamma Mia came around in the late 90s. So I was kind of always in the wrong age group for it, to be honest. I was always sort of too young to play the daughter and kind of not quite old, sorry, too old to play the daughter and not quite old enough to play the mother. And then I went to the audition in New York thinking, you know, I'll just go and just see, you know, how the audition experience is in New York, because I'd only just moved there. And I really kind of thought that perhaps down the road, but clearly what had happened was that I now actually am old enough to play the mother. So I was offered the role, and it's certainly, yeah, I remember when I saw the show first in Australia, and the woman playing Donna was a fantastic lady called Anne Wood, and was also played by a couple of other girls, Maggie DeFerranti and Sylvie Palladino. And I remember seeing them and just thinking, my God, that is just a tour de force role. Like, it's a real, you know, and people do use the term that it's a chick show. It's a, you know, that the movie of Mamma Mia is a chick flick. And,
really?
And, yes, they do. But it's I think there is an element of female empowerment about it. So, you know.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, which is sort of, you know, it's been a really fun thing to investigate that as a performer. So, yeah, I'm blessed to have this role.
Yeah, so how long have you been playing Donna for?
Nearly a year. Do you know, on this Sunday will be the anniversary of the night before our first rehearsal. And yeah, so a year ago, almost to the day, we started rehearsals together, and a new company was put together, and we all started rehearsals at Ripley Greer Studios in New York, and we were all like nervous, and there we were. And so we've been together. By the time we get to you, you're our second last stop on this tour. So yeah, we're all very sort of excited and kind of philosophical and kind of reflecting, and it's been truly, you know, an amazing years with many highs and many lows and many learning curves, and you know, just a wonderful company to be a part of. Our producers are sensational, our creative team are fantastic, and we have a great cast, and yeah, we're really, you know, really lucky.
So now that you've been working on the show for a year, it doesn't feel like a year, does it?
No, it doesn't feel like a year. No, yeah. It feels like just a couple of days.
So, since you've been working on the show so much, what's kind of your favorite aspect? Is it the music, the costumes, the dancing?
All of it. I mean, the music, it almost goes without saying. It's truly just fantastic, and having been a fan, you know, before as well. I think the great thing about the music itself is that the music is so engaging and so much fun, but then you have these incredible ballads as well that are so beautiful. And then I think within the year you really investigate more and more the lyrics and what the lyrics mean and what they meant in their, like, ABBA's personal life, as well as how they relate to the show. And that's been a really exciting journey. Working with this cast has been great, particularly Chloe Tucker, who plays my daughter, this lovely young girl from Los Angeles, and Alison Ewing and Mary Callanan, who play Tanya and Rosie, respectively. And they're just fantastic people, and that's been a wonderful thing. And also the costumes are fantastic, as you know, anyone who's seen it knows, and anyone who's about to see it will find out. And
so when you say that you spend a lot of time with the cast, how much time do you guys spend together outside of the stage, especially with the girl who plays your daughter?
We spend a lot of time together, and because, I mean, she's Chloe Tucker, I'm Kay Tuckerman, so usually on flights we sit next to each other because of just the way it's alphabetically listed, so we get, you know, given our seats next to each other. Yeah, and, you know, we have a really very strong bond, very, very strong bond. So, and then too, you know, because the role is relatively demanding, I don't get to go out as much as everybody else. Mm-hmm. But we do socialize a lot together, and especially I think with the end of the season coming up, you know, people will be, you know, winding up sort of their catch-ups with everybody for the year, and some people will be moving on to other jobs, and most of us will have a 7-week break from each other. So yeah, it's sort of like a little bit of end of school year, you know.
Yeah. So have you found that over the course of the year, have you and Chloe, since you play such a close, strong mother-daughter couple in the play, have you found that over the year, have you two gotten closer as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've laughed till we've cried, and we've cried till we laughed many times. And, you know, often we'll share a dressing room, and we'll watch movies in between shows. We'll go and grab a coffee or something, or, you know, we'll just hang out and talk and listen to music, whatever. Yeah, we really, really do. And you know, her mum as well, who's fantastic and is based in LA, you know, every now and then, you know, she'll come to visit and she'll be like, thanks for being the other mum. And it's like, you know, I can't take your title, but, you know, we really do have a very strong bond.
Oh, fantastic. So yeah. You have done a lot of stuff. You've done The Matrix.
I have, yes.
Yeah, which is exciting.
I doubled for your incredible Canadian friend, Carrie Ann Moss.
Oh, I thought so, because you look quite like her.
Yes, and it was funny because I was studying directing at the time, and I wanted to just do a directing, like, internship on The Matrix, and they were like, yes, yes, no problem. And then they sort of went, hang on a minute, how tall are you? And I said, well, you know, a 5'6", and they're like, and they said, do you wear heels much? And I'm like, yes, I do. And they're like, well, you're a bit shorter than Carrie Ann, but would you consider, you know, being her stand-in and, you know, picture double for some things? And and I'm like, yes, I would. And so I worked on that for about a year. We filmed 2 and 3 they filmed 1, 2, and 3 in Sydney. I didn't work on 1, but I worked on 2 and 3. And I tell you, if she is setting the example for how fantastic Canadians are, I tell you, she's doing a great job. She's truly, I mean, a remarkable talent, and what a gracious, incredible woman.
Oh, we're very happy to hear that. Yes, we're very happy she's representing. So you were filming there
yes.
in Sydney. What kind of led to you becoming an actress for this North American tour? Can you tell us that story?
Yes, it was sort of a little bit strange. I mean, I started, you know, dreaming about being a performer when I was a kid. My dad had taken me to a musical. He'd taken me to see Annie, and I was like, oh, that's a job? I want to do that. And so, of course, everyone was horrified. And you know, but I managed to, you know, get involved in some amateur theatre companies when I was a teenager, and then met some people who got me an agent, who then got me TV commercials and TV stuff and plays. And I was mainly working as a straight actress. But I was desperate to do musicals. And, of course, when you're studying, you learn of this thing called Broadway, and it's like, what is this, Broadway? and that becomes the dream. And as an Australian, you can't work in America. You can't get a visa. You know, it's the impossible dream, you know.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And I ended up, after doing many years of musicals and cabaret work and recording, I ended up doing the Spiegel Tent, which is an amazing cabaret circus burlesque show in New York City with a lot of actually Canadians, people from Montreal, Quebec, Toronto, fantastic performers who do things all around the world with Cirque du Soleil and Cirque d'Eloise, and again, wonderful, wonderful people representing Canada. And from that, I met a wonderful lawyer who was like, why don't you just get a green card? And I'm like, pardon? He was like, well, you can get a green card. I was like, no, I can't. And he's like, yes, you can. I was like, oh. So we put the application in with no promises, and it was granted. A year later, I moved to New York, and 7 weeks after moving, I auditioned for Mamma Mia, and I booked the job.
Oh, my goodness. What a yes. story. Well,
yeah,
the impossible dream came true.
Yes, you know, and it's sort of, it was funny because, you know, talking about Chloe, there was something that she desperately wanted the other day, and she said, it will never happen. I was like, mate, it's true. You never say never. You do, and if you have something in your heart that you really want to try, then you just try it, you know? You know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least you've tried, you know. And look at me. I never thought it would be possible to work in America, let alone, you know, be playing this incredible role in this incredible show for these incredible people, seeing all of America and all of Canada. I tell you.
So yeah. You've been traveling all over North America for about a year.
Yes.
And, you know, Queer FM is a gay role, so we have to ask, you know, some yes. of the questions. Well, we don't have to, but it's Mamma Mia. How can I yeah. not? So
I know. I nearly laughed before when I said I used to do straight plays.
So in the different cities you've been in, has there been any, like, really any kind of outstanding reactions from the gay communities there?
Yes, because we quite a few of the cities we were in coincided with Mardi Gras. So we were in, I want to say it coincided with Boise, Idaho. And so there were quite a few, like one of our crew guys is from Boise, so he put up a whole list of events were happening for Mardi Gras. So everyone was very, very involved in that. And we have a thing actually coming up in Vancouver, which has been coordinated by a wonderful local artist there. And she's doing a video about It Gets Better, whereby in the, you know, gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community, it's when you're in those formative years and you're realizing that, you know, your preferences are not what society tells us are they meant to, in inverted commas, be. And so, you know, you're self-development and your self-esteem and your ability to grow based on what you know your heart is telling you and your soul is telling you is, you know, can be very difficult. And so this whole video thing that she's doing is called It Gets Better, and the whole thing is that by reaching out to people in your communities and reaching out to people, I mean, even in New York, you know, I was hearing stories about, you know, young teenagers not knowing where to go because they, you know, they wanted to come out or they didn't know what they were experiencing, and they would rock up at some of the Broadway stage doors and just sort of say, hey, I think I'm gay, but I don't know who to talk to. And you know, a lot of the performers would just take them under their wings and just help them through that those times. And it's sort of the whole thrust of this video project that she's doing is that it just gets better, and that if you reach out to people and you're just honest with your feelings, there's always going to be somebody to mentor you and going to be somebody to hold your hand while you go through a transition period as to working out what you're experiencing and what you're feeling, and, you know, telling your family, telling your friends, and hoping that people understand. And, you know, so we're going to all be involved with that. And so that's an exciting thing about Vancouver.
Yes.
And Mamma Mia 2 has become a very popular show for, you know, for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender culture, you know, and I think it's just because it's a celebration of, you know, whilst primarily, I mean, you know, it's about a woman's story, but it's truly about somebody who just said, I'm not perfect, I make mistakes. We're all people. We all are not perfect, and we all make mistakes. And just be true to who you are. And, you know, it doesn't mean hurting people. Nothing like that is intentional. But just be who you are, and find a way to make it work, and find a way to respect people's choices and people's beliefs and people's, you know, understanding of who they are and what they need to achieve in their life based on their sameness and their oneness and their mindfulness and their differences, you know.
Very well said. Okay, so we're about to run out of time, but before we go, I know, it's been so much fun.
Yeah, I've loved talking.
But before we go, I have one last question. So this is a question we like to ask all the touring performers who come to town. What's something you've had to do on stage or on film that you've never, ever thought you would have had to do?
Oh, that's a Spiegel tent story, actually. It was a girl's birthday, and they said, well, we want you to sing Happy Birthday. And Happy Birthday is actually a strangely difficult song to sing. And so I said, I'll only sing it if you – and I was sort of saying it so that it wouldn't happen. I'll only sing it if you let me sing it in my bikini and my boots, and that she eats the cake off my stomach. And
oh, my goodness.
And they went, that's a brilliant idea. And I'm like, no, that's not – no, you were meant to say that. No, 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 that's not going to happen. Well, it did, and the photos are quite something. And then when the video appeared, it was like, oh, okay.
Oh, there's a video.
Yes.
Did it make the YouTube top 10?
Oh, it's made my Facebook top 10, but thankfully it hasn't appeared on YouTube yet. But yes, that is one thing I never thought I would have to do.
Okay, well, that's definitely one of the more unique ones. Usually when people answer, it always involves them taking clothes off.
Well, I volunteered to wear the bikini, so it already...
Yeah, that's true. You did take some of your clothes off.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we go, can you tell us where to find you or Mamma Mia online, or both?
Yes, MammaMiaNorthAmerica.com, and all the details of our show is on that website, and all the details of the Canada tickets, there's links through that as well. So that's Mamma Mia with two M's, Mamma Mia, NorthAmerica.com. And there's also my website as well, which is Kay Tuckerman, and it's K with an E, K-A-Y-E, Tuckerman.com.
Okay, thank you so much, Kay.
That was a pleasure.
This is Justin Saint with Queer FM on CITR 101.9.
This just in, Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM presents Cabba Radio. Join host Teddy Smooth as he explores the chimerical, the hysterical, the phantasmagorical world of burlesque and cabaret. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM brings you Cabba Radio.
Dear Mr. President,
we know your position on same-sex couples is evolving.
You, like many Americans, have struggled with the idea of equal marriage rights.
But what about the struggles gay and lesbian couples face without the freedom to marry?
People like your own colleagues, friends and family who you love and respect.
People in committed relationships just like yours will have no way to protect their families.
Marriage means security.
Marriage means dignity.
Marriage is the ultimate expression of love to the world.
Mr. President, marriage matters.
Many of your fellow elected officials have already taken a stand.
You have an opportunity to set an example like no other president before you.
You've told our gay and lesbian youth that the future will get better.
Now is your opportunity to show them.
We need you to say it.
Loud and clear.
For the entire country.
The entire world to hear. Please, Mr. President, support the freedom to marry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us in signing the letter at nohatecampaign.com/I do.
Let me ask you about social policy. You've notably said that you're a big fan of Lady Gaga, and even the song Born This Way. There's a lot of debate about a gay marriage pledge in Iowa. And related to that, I wonder, do you agree with some of those who are behind that being gay is a choice?
Well, I have two teenage daughters who listen to Lady Gaga, so I'm subjected to it. And it has some good qualities to it. But as to gay marriage. I've been a supporter of traditional marriage as between a man and a woman. I have not supported the issues of allowing gay couples to have the same benefits in public employment as traditional couples. And so this is an issue in Iowa and across the whole country. But I've stood in favor of traditional marriage and traditional relationships.
Is being gay a choice?
Well, the science in that regard is in dispute. I mean, the Pew scientists work on that and try to figure out if it's behavioral or if it's partly genetic.
What do you think?
Well, I'd defer to the scientists in that regard.
So you think it's not a choice? That well, you are, as Lady Gaga says, you're born that way.
There's no scientific conclusion that it's genetic. We don't know that. So we don't know to what extent, you know, it's behavioral, and that's something that's been debated by scientists for a long time. But as I understand the science, there's no current conclusion that it's genetic.
And that, dear listeners, was Tim Pawlenty. He is one of the GOP presidential candidates in the United States election for 2012. Wow, no scientific evidence. Well, Mr. Pawlenty, I beg to differ with you. This is Queer FM. My name is Aidan Saint, and I am currently at CITR Studios here in Vancouver, British Columbia, at 101.9 FM. Oh, I love politics, but this is not the politics show. This is not Queer FM. No, this is Queer FM Arts Extra. And that was Justin Saint with the fantastic, wow, he's really looking forward to Mamma Mia. And as is Clement C. Blaze. C. Blaze is talking about going along. So next week, we should have a really fantastic ticket giveaway. And then, well, we'll have a review of Mamma Mia as well, of course. Well, we have a lot of other great stuff coming up on the show. I have a review of Naughty Bear. Naughty Bear is a very interesting video game that we're going to have Justin Saint. He's the video game expert around here, and it's got a different twist. I think you'll like it, or you'll hate it. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I have a review on that. Very interesting. Some things you'll like, some things you won't. We'll leave it up to that. And also, there's a new campaign. Well, let's play this.
Have you heard?
The R word is out.
It used to be that you could call a person retarded.
If they were slow.
Or acted dumb.
Or stupid.
Or if they were born with Down syndrome.
Or anything else that made them appear to be different.
But the R word shows lack of sensitivity.
Or compassion.
Or understanding.
It hurts.
It's insulting.
It's offensive.
And people with intellectual disabilities
can accomplish great things.
Like competing in the Special Olympics.
And winning.
We need a new R word.
Respect.
Special Olympics.
Be a fan.
Founders are a proud partner with Special Olympics as we spread the word to end the word. I'm Taylor Graham. When I hear people use the R word, retard, I think of my friends at Special Olympics, athletes with intellectual disabilities. Please join my teammates and me to take the pledge to stop using the R word. It hurts the team. Sign the pledge today at the Special Olympics booth and soccer celebration on the main concourse. Spread the word to end the word. Thank you.
It's not acceptable to call me a nigger.
It's not acceptable to call me a spick.
To call me a chink.
To call me a fag.
It's not acceptable to call me a kike.
It's not acceptable to call me a retard or call yourself or your friends retarded when they do something foolish.
The R word is the same as every minority slur. Treat it that way and don't use it.
Spread the word to end the word.
And we hear
Sounders are a proud partner with Special Olympics.
And that was the Seattle Sounders again. Wow, those guys just don't quit running. We at Queer FM, Queer FM Arts Extra, and Queer FM Community, come on. You know, it's one of those words that it really doesn't apply. It's a very, very old word. It's time for it to go. And that's just me. And I know my co-hosts feel the same way, so give it a rest. And this has been a public service announcement from Queer FM. Not quite as elegant as the Seattle Sounders, Special Olympics, or, of course, the cast of Glee. Well, we are going to step aside for just a moment and play a little clip from our friend Josh Reimer. Now, Josh Reimer, he's in a couple of, he's kind of one of those YouTube broadcasters that is always doing something. The man is, We think he's genetically a shark, a gay shark. No, we do. He can't stop moving. If he stops moving, he'll die. So he came up with a hilarious parody that we here at Queer FM absolutely love, and we're going to play that for you right, wait for it, now.
Ladies and lady boys, if you want to impress your man, you got to do it in the kitchen. And cook in here, too.
Stereotypical gay.
Cooking. All right, today I'm going to show you how to make one of my signature dishes. It's called sex on a plate, because after I served it to my date, that's exactly what happened. So the first two ingredients that you're going to need are vodka and vermouth. And now you're ready to begin. Okay, so the first thing you need to do is find a pot. Like with men, the bigger, the better. Ooh, this one's so big, it's almost painful to think about. It's perfect. Okay, I filled up the pot about halfway with some water-based lubricant, and we're going to turn up the heat in our sex lives and on the stove. This will give you a few minutes to get to the first couple of guys in the room. Once the foreplay is well underway, it's time to get to the noodles. I like long, fat, thick ones. Now that's what I call a noodle. So we're gonna add the noodles into the boiling water, and we're going to cook for about 5 minutes. I like my noodles to be firm. Nobody likes a soggy noodle. It's getting crowded in there. A little orgy of noodles. You'll want to make sure that you stir frequently because, like an uncut penis, these things can get kind of sticky. So while the noodles are cooking, it's time to make our sauce. I like to treat my sauces like I treat my men. Just use whatever's in sight and shove it in. Oh yeah, get in there. Empty yourself into my pot. What else do we have here? Olives. Can never have enough of those. This is gonna make be so horny. Ooh, a little bit of vodka. Got some stewed tomatoes. Dump them in there. Don't forget to stir the pasta, and you'll also want to stir the sauce. I guess you could say you'll have to double fist it. You may feel a bit sore afterwards, but hopefully you stretched first. Next, we need some vegetables. I have got a zucchini, a squash, a carrot, and a cucumber. This one's sealed for your protection. You know what? Why don't we just throw in a banana for fun? You'll be dessert. So you'll want to make sure that you really scrub clean these vegetables. Because let's face it, you don't know where they've been. Now you just grab a big knife and you start to chop up the vegetables. Just imagine that this belongs to your husband and you're a disgruntled wife living in California. And throw this part in the disposal. And with the rest of it, I like to imagine it belongs to that guy in the alley who gave me crabs. Through you. You know how hard it is to get rid of those things. Shampoos and combs and medications. And it's all nicely chopped. And with the carrot, I like to circumcise the end. Won't be needing that. And cut up the rest of it into small pieces. Actually, I think I'll save that part for later. I really hate to chop up this zucchini. It's just so perfectly shaped. So I won't. Now, as much as I do believe in safe cooking, sometimes you just gotta go bareback. This is really tightly on here. Haven't they ever heard of magnums? And we're gonna cut into that cucumber. Oh yeah. I am getting a workout. As usual, more so with the right arm than the left. Okay, let's add it into our sauce. It might seem like you can't fit the whole thing in, but trust me, you can. Now, you'll want to cook these for about as long as it would take you to get someone off. Times, of course, can vary depending on your skills, but let's just say that my vegetables are always undercooked. Now, it's time to grab a strainer and just take this over to the sink and empty it out. Ugh. Ooh, look at the size of those noodles. Damn. We're just going to combine everything into one big orgy on a plate. Add some seasoning. And voila, here you have it. Sex on a plate. Let's try some. Excuse me? Oh, what the f*** was that? Oh, it tasted like ass, and not in the good way. Although it does taste better than the taxi ride I took to the grocery store. Less hair in my mouth afterwards, too. Speaking of which, it's time to hit the club, and I think my taxi's actually here. I guess the drive there will be dessert. Well, until next time, keep it up, keep it tight, and I'll blow you later. I have no idea what this is, but I think every kitchen should have one. Couple low hangers. Actually, I think I'll use this as a banana holder. Yeah, that works.
I know you may feel that even the people you're closest to can't understand what you're going through.
But I can tell you, you're not alone. And it's true what they say, it does get better.
Whatever you're going through now, it doesn't stay that way forever.
If you're true to who you are,
you will find friends.
You will find love. You will find success.
And you will find happiness.
So trust me, it gets better.
And particularly for your generation,
it'll get better than it's ever been before in Massachusetts and across our country.
And remember, if you or someone you know just needs someone to talk to,
please contact Massachusetts Bagley Network
at www.bagly.org.
So it will get better. It will get better because you're helping it to become better, and this is going to be, in the end, the kind of world we all want to live in.
This is Kay Tuckerman. I play Donna Sheridan in Mamma Mia, and you're listening to Queer FM on CITR 101.9.
Yes, you are, Kay, and my name's Aidan Saint, and I'm here in the control room. We want to put out a little bit of a birthday greeting to our girl, Samantha Mack. Samantha Mack's birthday today. We don't know how old she is. I got a pretty good understanding, and I know she's definitely under 30. We're going to say 24, okay? That's what we're going to stick with. And next year, maybe we'll revise that. Hey, we've got some really, really odd things coming on. The first thing that we're going to do that's a little odd is some Naughty Bear. Well, let's see if this clip's going to work for you. One of the things that's really interesting about this video game is they actually have movies that are out on the internet, and you can check them out at machinima.com. But what's great is the trailer. Naughty Bear was not invited to the party. He has an axe, a bat, a chainsaw, and now they will pay. Okay. The really interesting thing about this video game is the point system. The point system is based on, you're wreaking havoc on every stuffing-filled bear that crosses your path. There's bears, there's bear traps. It's really an amazing video, and they have actual robots for this. They have episodes. The Adventures of Naughty Bear, of course, narrated by an Englishman. And the interesting thing, though, is that this features an array. You are a teddy bear, if you hadn't got that. And you're angry that the other bears are not allowing you to come and play with them. So your job is, with an array of weapons, you have objects and scare tactics. You're to earn naughty points as you inflict physical damage. Physical damage on the foes. Of course, these are all teddy bears, so it's really hard to take it seriously. But apparently there is a psychological harm, scare-based point system, meaning players win the most rewards for being deviant and maniacal. It's a completely new experience because you essentially get to harass and terrorize the ill-fated bears that you cross paths with. Yes. There's 30 levels. It apparently has, of course, new weapons at every stage. Gamers can search for locked away other bears. So those of you, like my husband Justin, who are complete, what's the expression I'm looking for here? An achievement whore. That's what it's called. Ask him, he'll tell you, okay? you've got lots and lots to achieve in this game. So the gold version is just out. We're going to do a review of it and come back with some Naughty Bear clips, some Naughty Bear, maybe we'll have some Naughty Bear giveaways here. But this is our official video game for August. It's Naughty Bear. I can't believe I get this job. All right, so we're going to have a word from one of our favorite internet sensations. In fact, it is the Old Spice guy. There's a challenge. Well, I'll let him tell you.
Hello, ladies, and handsomely men. Sorry for my absence from the planet Earth and any anxiety this may have caused. As a very small gesture of consolation, I got you this. A professional football season for this year, which I just finished negotiating. You're welcome. Anyways, I hope you've been well. Actually, I know you've been well because I've been watching you. And not in a creepy way. Only in public places at appropriate times from afar, like a big brother slash superhero life figure minus the biological relation who cares about your safety deeply. You know what else I've been watching? A certain man with hair who's been using a very harsh and heavily accented vernacular to challenge me to a duel. Well, sir, a real man would have challenged me to a duel with a left-to-right slap across the face using only the finest pair of off-white dual challengement gloves. Your pathetic verbal attempt to rouse me has been the equivalent of being lightly rubbed across the cheek very slowly with a damp sponge or exfoliating loofah. An almost enjoyable experience, which made my brain chuckle. Then shoot the following words to my mouth. Yes, Fabio, I accept your challenge. Mano a mano in el baño. Tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So bring it, Fabio, because I will be bringing me. I can't wait.
And we are waiting to hear the results of the challenge, so we will keep you updated. I'm not really sure why we're keeping you updated on this, to be really honest with you. I think it's kind of silly, but the guy's really hot. Just saying. All right. This is one of the coolest videos we have seen in a long time. The music score for it is really fantastic, and you can check it out on our YouTube favorites at queerfmvancouver.com. But you can also go on YouTube at, it's called Made On Pop Culture. It's a live set. And what's so cool about this is that essentially it has a track list of, it looks like 30 different videos, music bits on a live mixing board that the guy plays in sequence on video. You got to check this out. It's Made On Dash Pop Culture. It's the live mashup, and it's right here on Queer FM Arts Extra.
Thank you. Meet Chimp 9.
We gave him
a gene therapy that allows the brain to repair itself.
We call it the cure to Alzheimer's.
Oh, he's a smart one, isn't he?
Caesar continues to show cognitive skills that far exceed that of a human counterpart.
The drug works.
These tests need to be contained.
You are going nowhere, mister. Just stay right there.
Daddy!
Look at this guy.
Stupid monkey. He'll learn who's boss soon enough.
And that was the trailer for Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Come on, Aiden, it's early. Well, I saw this movie, and I've seen all the original movies, plus the television series. What? You didn't think there was an original movie? Seriously? Come on, the whole take your hands off me, you damn dirty ape, the maniacs, you blew it. No. Charlton Heston, no shirt. Beach, no. Damn, it's a young audience out there, it really is. Well, there were five original movies in the Planet of the Apes. They started in 1968 with the classic Planet of the Apes. Charlton Heston goes ahead to the year, well, they find out the chronometer says it's 3700. It's way past that. There was a doctor in the movies and in the remake that was done in 2000. Was it 2003? It talks about the Hasseline, Dr. Hasseline effect, where you could go forward, but you know, in time, a little warp speed kind of thing. The problem was, well, I'm going to give it away. Yeah, it was in 1968. Tough. It's a spoiler, okay? If you haven't seen the original, they went ahead in time. There was a cataclysm. Apes rose, and there you go. Okay? All right, so there were five movies. They ended in the early 1970s. There was a very short-lived television series with Planet of the Apes. There were several animated series. There was a remake of this particular film, and it's... The interesting thing about the whole series was, how do they reboot it? Well, we thought they rebooted it a few years back, but apparently they didn't like the reboot. So this is a reboot of a reboot. Yeah, no kidding. They're getting a little thin here in Hollywood. And look, the storytelling, some people say fantastic. Meh. Eh. Not that great. I mean, the movie was rather good. The special effects are fantastic. The visual effects alone allow several actors to play. The actor who played Sméagol in The Lord of the Rings now can wear this suit and be registered by a computer. The CGI then overlays the various characters. So in this particular case, the part played by Caesar is... amazing. Essentially, this is an old story. In the original story, what was the 1968 version of reality was sort of the world was essentially on fire, kind of like it is now. Only then the bad guy was the scientists. It was the establishment. Now the bad guy in this is the pharma companies, the big pharmaceutical companies, the mindless corporation that is will stop at nothing to make money. And then there's arrogance, and then there's a chain of events, and suddenly you have Caesar, the first intelligent ape. He is then betrayed, big surprise, finds his own species, has a little, you know, measurement contest, shall we say, and, well, the rest is seen in the trailer. You can definitely guarantee, though, even if you don't particularly like the story, the CGI, the effects are the same effects team, WETA, that won the Oscar for Avatar. Okay, so if you loved Avatar, you're going to probably like this. It's pretty cool. I give it a mostly worthy on the Queer FM scale. Worthy, of course, being, yeah, go out and spend the money. And, of course, we have other rankings, and, well, we're not going to talk about those. So that's our review, Queer FM, of Return or Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I'm going to get this right. I really am. We're going to step aside here for just a second and play a little PSA, a little radio business. And we'll be right back here to end out the show on Queer FM, Arts Extra, CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. And you can get our archives at CITR.ca or QueerFMVancouver.com. We'll be right back.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies, Monday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
And we're back on Queer FM Arts Extra. Put a little bit of Dead Mouse, Raise Your Weapon. They're going to be around and about a lot. It's a tour coming up. One of our favorites. We are going to take a moment here and talk, close out the show, and talk to you about the 23rd Vancouver Queer Film Festival. And run down some of our picks as the really cool things to do. And of course, it all starts off this Thursday. And you can get more information at queerfilmfestival.ca. But we wanted to give you a few Queer FM picks of things that you should check out. Of course, the opening gala. The opening gala and, of course, the opening gala party at Tafaro and at 560. That's at 7 p.m. And again, at 9 p.m. at 560, you can check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. They start at 5 o'clock and have films through the 9th, including a Fierce and Fabulous Party at the Roundhouse. And it's not to be missed. That is Friday the 12th. This Friday. It's this Friday. One of the films that we would kind of like to see is The Night Watch. That's at 7 p.m. And that is, of course, in the International Village. And Beautiful Rejects, and that's at the Empire Granville, and that's at 9 p.m. And that's for Friday, August 12th. Saturday starts off early at the film festival, and it starts, well, early as noon, right? Okay. They have workshops at the Roundhouse, and a whole bunch of fantastic events and things. Judas Kiss is going to be over at the Edgewater Casino at 8. They have a codependent lesbian space, Alien Seeks Same, at the Rio at 9:30. Codependent lesbian space and Alien Seeks Same. The Girls on Film parties at the Canvas Lounge, and that's at 10 p.m. And that's not all for the weekend. On Sunday, there's a Lost in the Crowd with panel at 4 o'clock, and that's at the International Village. The Sleeping Beauty of East Finchley is at the Rio. That sounds kind of interesting. The Spotlight Advocate for Fagdom, which is really an interesting situation there. The guest speaker is pretty fabulous. But again, queerfilmfest.ca. I'm trying to drive you to the website, you see. Can't give you too much. And more and more and more, of course, on Sunday. There's Strapped, one of the films at the International Village on Monday. There's Life and Death of a Porno Gang, also at the International Village, and the Queer History Project Films, and that's at the Van City Theater, and you've got to check that out at 9:30, and that's on Monday, August 15th. And of course, Tuesday, Vancouver Visionaries at the International Village, and the Dancing Boys of Afghanistan at the Van City Theater. Pretty fantastic. We are going to run down more as the week goes on, but the last thing that I wanted to mention, of course, is Kink Crusaders, and that's happening way far away, Saturday the 20th, and there's a hot mix party at 560, closing parties at celebrities, and wow, it's going to be a long week. Hey, we're going to get ready to take off here. We wanted to mention one more thing, and that is we've got a great show that we're going to be doing this week. We're going to be broadcasting from the Fillmore Family Reunion. That's happening at UBC Farms. You can go out to Fillmore Family and check that out. You can also get tickets for their upcoming food fest that's happening this fall. All right, we're going to step aside here and play a bit of radio business, and we're done. We've made it. All right. This is Aiden Saint, and this is Queer FM Arts Extra.
You arrive in the rising sun. The hidden passenger that I've been taken. Close your eyes, let's forget again. As you drag me down, I will take you in. What are you waiting for? Just surrender here tonight.
Aiden Saints, I'm out of here. This is the end of Queer FM Arts Extra, and stay tuned. This week we're going to be on at 5 with Queer FM Community and Queer FM in its normal time at 6 to 8, again from the Fillmore Family Reunion. Okay, that's it. See ya. Have a great day.
Towards the light. You're looking for answers. If only one turn my back. The edge has gone. Left with no reason. We come on, come on, come on. We'll be right back.